That'll be our invitation song after Robbie presents us with a lesson tonight. 3:35. After you get that mark, turn to number 405. 405, we'll sing all three verses of this song.
Sing them over to thee again, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and beauty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ is a blessed one, gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also breathing heaven, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweet the air of the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
All right. Well, good evening. Glad to see everybody out. Glad everybody decided to show up, even though I knew I was preaching. So glad to see that y'all have faith and confidence in me. And I take this time to thank Mike for asking me to preach, even though he's here tonight, but he wasn't supposed to be, so he asked me to preach, so I appreciate that. This evening, I want to talk about a man who lived during the patriarchal dispensation in the Old Testament. I just want to talk a little bit about him, and he is a great example to us of how we need to live and resist sin and everything of that nature. And the man that I'm talking about is Job. And Job then, and even now, by our standards, was a very, very rich man. Because Scripture tells us that he was the greatest man of all the East. He was favored by God. He feared God. And the Scripture tells us also as well that there was none like him on the earth, a perfect and upright man. And we're also told about Job that God allowed Satan to tempt him. And as we know, Satan tempted him pretty good. Because in that first chapter of Job, we know that Job lost all his possessions. He lost all of his children. And even lost his health. But the big point of that is, Job, through all this, Job did not sin. So at the end of the day, Satan didn't win. So if you flip over to chapter 2, we can read a little bit more about Job and his misery and everything that he's going through. But after that little insight I gave you about Job, he's not the one I want to talk about tonight. I just want to give a little insight about him. The person that I want to talk about in Job is a person who is often overlooked, not mentioned a whole lot, and we really don't know a lot about this person. And the person I'm referring to would, what we would say, Job's better half. That's his wife. Like I said, we don't know a lot about her. Really, all we know about her is the statement that she has made in Job chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. And with that statement there, we can see and tell a lot about her. So this evening, that's who I'd like to talk about, is Job's wife and a few lessons that we can learn from her. Well, the first thing is, Job's wife didn't see the big picture. Now, sometimes people, including myself and others, don't try to look at the big picture through various trials and tribulations that we may have in our life. We just look at the here and now. How is this situation affecting us right here and now? And of course, Job's wife is not any different than us. She's a human being. So all she was looking at was today. But now, we can see, though, through maybe various trials or tribulations in our lives, it's hard to see the big picture. And in her case, it must have been very, very hard, because she also lost 10 children. She lost all that wealth had to offer, and then also she was stuck with a sick husband. And so some today are the same way. If they lost everything, they would probably have the same attitude as Job's wife did. So my question, would you have the same attitude? Would I have the same attitude? That's what we need to think about as we go through this lesson. Job's wife considered everything that she had to be hers, but it's not. Everything that we have, it belongs to God. We've been blessed by God. But Job knew that everything that he had wasn't his. He knew that it belonged to God. He knew God has blessed them tremendously. Again, she was living for the present, for the here and now. But Job saw the big picture. Because in Job chapter 1, verse 21, we're told, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return here. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that statement tells us Job saw the big picture. Now, I want to see what Paul has to say about this. So if you'd like to follow along, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us as far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what Job was looking at. Also, I'd like to look in 1 Timothy, if you'd like to follow along. 1 Timothy chapter 6. See what else Paul, through the Spirit, has to tell us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. How content would we be with just food and clothing? Another question I posed to you as well as myself. Also, Jesus tells us in Luke 12, verse 15, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Another verse, Matthew 6, verse 19, tells us that our treasure is not in this world. Our treasure is in heaven. So to sum up these statements I just spoke to you, Job's wife didn't see the big picture. Are we guilty of not seeing the big picture? Next, she falsely accused God. Because she was basically thinking and saying to her husband that it's God's fault that they lost everything. And we know this by her statement that she made, well, part of the statement she made when she said, curse God and die. And many are no different than her today. They blame God for the death of a loved one. If the world gets turned upside down, they lose their job, lose their spouse. And so they are, in essence, saying that it's God's fault too. Now, there may be some people, I feel, because they may hear in the Bible how God is in control of all things, because the scripture tells us that he rules in the kingdoms of men. And so they may wrongly conclude that God has caused their suffering. But I want to make a note that there is a difference, though, between what God does and what God allows. Because when the Godhead set in motion the laws of nature, gravity, for example, is the example I'm thinking of. And let's say I fall or jump off a high building, I'm going to feel the effects of living in a world that has gravity. So, Matthew 5:45 tells us it rains on the just and the unjust. Romans 5:12, God is not the cause of all the suffering, but sin is the cause of all suffering. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16 through 23, David didn't blame God when his child died, the child that he had with Bathsheba. When it died, David didn't blame God because David understood the laws of the world in which he lived. So, to sum up those statements, Job's wife falsely accused God, and how many of us have done that? Next, Job's wife served Satan's purpose. Because if you remember, Job's wife asked Job, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Now, just a quick definition of integrity means soundness of moral principle and character, honesty, uprightness, trustworthiness, and honesty, just to name a few, just to give you an idea of the definition of integrity. Now, we know that Job had integrity, and he even made the claim in Job 27, verse 5. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. So, Satan knew that if he could get Job to give up his integrity, that Job may sin through all the trials that Job went through. So, what better person to use to get to Job than his wife, his own flesh? That's the best person for Satan to use to get to Job. Now, we know that she should have encouraged him. She should have strengthened him. She should have been there and supporting him by his side through all of this. And she may have, she may not. We're just told what the statement she made. That we're just told by the statement that, you know, curse God and die, do you hold fast to your integrity? But instead of supporting him, it seems like she was just taking it all away from him, making it harder for him. And having said that, a little side note here, there's a good lesson in that. When you plan to get married, be sure you know who you're marrying. Be sure the person you're going to marry loves God and wants to please God and wants to help you get to heaven, not hinder you. So be very careful. But moving on, though, we know that Satan often used people to try to accomplish his works. Because we know he used Eve to get to Adam in Genesis 3, 1 through 8. He used Judas to betray Jesus in Matthew 26, 47 through 50. He used Peter to try to hinder Jesus in Matthew 16, 23. And of course, he was using Job's wife to try to get to Job. And Satan still will use ordinary people like me and you to try to accomplish his work. And let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 right quick, if you'd like to follow along. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Underscore that. Keep that in the back of your mind. Therefore, it is no great thing if he ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So at the end of the day, Satan's going to use us if we allow him. Plain and simple. Now, after all these statements about Job's wife, I don't want to give off the impression that Job's wife was some evil, wicked, terrible person. That's not the picture I want to give you. I mean, she probably was a very loving wife. She had children. I'm sure she was loving to her children. But what her problem was is that she was tempted as well, and she allowed Satan to use her as a tool to try to accomplish Satan's work. Now, today, though, we have got to be careful and not become a tool for Satan to accomplish his work. Whether that be in the church, home, community, work, anywhere, we've always got to stand guard ourselves. And so we need to take these lessons from Job's wife that we talked about this evening, from Job himself, and we need to learn from them, and we always need to keep our eye on the big picture, and that big picture is heaven and pleasing God. Now we've got to make sure that we don't blame God and falsely accuse God of things. It's sometimes through trials and tribulations, it's hard. I mean, we've all had them. It's hard, but we have to stand steadfast, study the Word, and always keep that in mind. Do not let the devil take us when we're most vulnerable like that. So, it's a choice every day to please God, to study God's Word, to try to do what God expects of us, to try to get to heaven. It's a choice. It's a choice that we have to wake up every day and decide, are we going to or are we not going to? Are we going to sit on the fence and try to straddle both? That can't happen. So I want to ask you tonight, if there is anybody here who wants to please God and may not know the first step to please Him, well, it's pretty simple. Really simple. You just come forward and be baptized for the remission of your sins, like Scripture tells us in Acts 2:38. And that would be the first step. Now, if there's any here that are already Christians and may have some sin in their life that they would like to correct, we're not promised tomorrow, so I would ask that you come forward as well as we stand and sing.